What's going on with dance and stuff? What's happening with dance and things? What's going on? What's happening? What's going on with dance and stuff?
Dun 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 news. Because that's what podcasts are now because of COVID and the epic failure of this administration, which Kamala was right out the bat in the debate about. And then Pence was like, basically like, we've done it. How dare you be nasty about the American people? And she's like, I was talking about the president. I was talking about the president, honey. And
his intro into every answer was so spooked out, but just always being like, well, it's nice to see you and
oh my God.
And I was like, just answer the question.
My favorite meme that has already happened on Instagram. Now, ladies and gentlemen, another, this is immediately following the debate. It has not been 5 minutes after the debate. I made myself some tea.
Well, I'm going to just say it's been 15 minutes.
Okay. Well, 15 for you, 5 for me, which reminds me a lot of when I used to be an actress and they would say 5 minutes and I would go, thank you, 10.
So rude.
So rude. Don't tell me what to do. And already, I can't remember the name of the account. I want to say it's called Slutty Puffin, but I could be wrong. And the account was a zoom in on the fly with the audio from Sunset Boulevard when she goes, I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeMille.
Isn't it amazing how fast people make things? He's such a piece of trash. A true garbage pail kid. Where the flies come to sit on his shellacked hair.
What is Mike Pence's Garbage Pail Kid name? Besides, oh like, God. Whitey Mikey. Like, it is YT Mikey.
Helmet Hair Trash. That's his Garbage Pail Kid name.
It's a real, it is an absolute,
his Garbage Pail Kid name is just racist bigot. That's his Garbage Pail Kid name.
He is such a racist. His whole thing of like, after she talked about how amazing it was that she had been nominated for VP and talking about her background and her mother, and then he goes, and he basically was like, yeah, I know what that's like to be nominated as vice president. I was like, what? It was like, honey, this is, and here we are. This is racism, honey. No, you don't know, you white old man. Like,
oh my God. Wow.
Comparison, I was like,
when the moderator said Joe Biden is 78, I started laughing. I guess I, like, in my heart, I had heard that at some point, but, like, to be reminded of that, I was, like, 78 years old.
Well, and Donald Trump is, 74?
74. I cannot
76
believe it.
Trombones hit the big parade. Well, the rigga da 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 da. That's from Music Man. You wouldn't know that.
I do. I've heard that song. But it's, like, only Kamala is fit to be a leader of all these people. It's
completely
crazy.
Completely. I really, God, I wish that she was president.
Okay. Even though Joe Biden is 78, vote. Everybody vote. Vote him. Vote.
Everybody vote, please, for Biden Harris. Because, you know, here's the thing. The American people, in some sort of, like, general, you know, way, it seems, want a dad. It seems that people can't get over wanting some dad they didn't have. And so they just keep being like, where's my dad? Remember that book called Are You My Mom? I think that's what the children's book was. And it seems like the American people are like, are you my dad? And always looking for this, you know, continual patriarchy, whatever. So it's weird. It's why Biden had to be the ticket. And it makes me sick. It certainly, as anyone's ever heard this podcast knows, I don't want to watch men do things. Uh-huh. I don't want to hear men. I can't stand it. I can't tell you how involved I would be on, like, every fucking moment of the news if this was between Kamala Harris and Kellyanne Conway. I would
check.
literally be like, oh my God.
I've given myself some restrictions from the news. I'm not doing it, with the exception of today. I didn't want to do this because immediately, like, gives me anxiety, raises my heart rate.
Like, oh my God, my heart rate was...
I don't like it.
I covered my face with my sweatshirt at one point and I screamed really loud.
And this one was so civilized, but even so.
Well, absolutely. Far more civil than that prolapse we were exposed to last week. And hi, everybody. It's old news now about Donald Trump having COVID and everyone else up in there. The fact that he is like, someone bring me my burgers and my Diet Cokes. Can you imagine? It's like people are having to bring him his burgers and Diet Cokes while he has COVID and refuses to wear a mask up in the White House, up in a closed indoor space. It's not like they have all the windows open here in October.
There's never been an open window in the White House since he went in there.
Well, I'm sure there's never been an open window in the White House. How about that?
Well, I mean, it's a difficult, because you don't want bullets going right through the window.
I mean, can you imagine, just to backtrack, I mean, everyone's already seen it, but like, him huffing and puffing up those stairs and then getting to the top and ripping his mask off and shoving it in his little pocket with that nasty little face and just being like, I'm not wearing this mask, and then really heaving with the oxygen intake. I can't. And my God, that he's receiving the best care in the country. It is state funded. It's not like he went to some private hospital. I am just the rage.
It's so crazy. And then when asked about taking the vaccine, and she was like, if Fauci tells us to take the vaccine, I'll be first in line. And if Donald Trump says to take the vaccine, I'm absolutely not taking it.
That was so major.
And then
that
Pence is like, it's unconscionable to say you won't take the vaccine. She's like, she already explained that she would.
Yeah, I mean, that woman, I can't remember her name right now.
The moderator?
Yeah.
Let's call her Susan. I believe her name is Susan.
I really felt like her hands during it. Did you watch her hands?
No.
Shaking the whole time.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wish that, you know what?
She did a great job in this way.
She did a good job.
She did a good job. But here's the thing. I really wish they just cut their mics when it's done.
I also really wish they would just fact check in real time. I don't understand. Because you're sitting here watching it on New York Times or fact checking in real time. You're like, have the moderator fact check in real time. I'm sick of having to hear these
fucking lies.
Fucking
lies and spin.
And then Kamala has to waste time being like, it's a lie. And you're like, well, she shouldn't have to do that. The moderator should take 2 seconds and say, that's not true.
Absolutely. The moderator, where the fuck is this? And you know what would be so great? Is just if on the screen, it would just come up and be like, that's a lie. And like explain it over the person's face if they lie.
I mean, that doesn't really, well, because that doesn't work. Because everyone who supports Trump also... like Mike Pence, does not believe in the media because the media doesn't support their system of values.
As he told that 8th grade girl at the end, don't believe your local news channel. Let me tell you the news.
Incredible? Don't believe your local news channel.
Talk about high fascism, honey. High fascism.
I know. I read a little thing in the New York Times, like fact stuff as it scrolled up, that Mike Pence in Indiana tried to start a state news station or something to basically like peddle his wares outside of the mainstream.
Make his own news. Right.
Make his own news.
He's going to make his own news. She wants to make her own news, honey. It's a real, everyone, once again, we've already done this. We're going to do it again. Vote, vote, vote. Even if you're like, yeah, but like, and so many people are voting for Biden. This is the anniversary. Let me just say, this is the anniversary of the fucking mic dropping, like audio recording of Trump saying, you just grab him by the pussy. that anniversary of that being released is today. Mm-hmm. Trump was so behind in the polls at that moment, and look who's president now. And right. So don't lean back on this and be like, well, you know what? It's all going to work out.
And if you are one of our listeners who's not in New York, who's not in California, who happens to be in any state where there's even a remote chance of getting electoral college points to Donald Trump and Mike Pence, you must get out of bed, go stand in line, call in sick to work.
Who's working it's absolutely, this is a time when you can be like, I have some weird symptoms. I'm going to wait on a COVID test and then I'll come into work and then go vote.
Yeah, literally.
Hello.
Call any family members that you have. Tell them you'll never speak to them again if they don't go vote. Although family members like that are likely to vote for Donald Trump. So maybe don't call them.
Well, here's the thing. Call your family members. And we've said this on here before. Tell them what's what. Say who to vote for. If they're still planning on voting for Donald Trump, never speak to them again.
Literally never speak to them again. If you know someone who's going to vote for Donald Trump or voted for Donald Trump the first time. No, I'll say this. If they voted for Donald Trump the first time and they've had like a revelation or change,
if they have regret,
you can talk to them again.
If they have deep regret and if they send you something nice.
But with reservations, you know, don't just get deeply into a new relationship with them quickly. You know, be a skeptic.
Yeah, honey. It's a real check out the house before you decide to stay there.
If they still think they're going to be voting for Donald Trump and you feel confident that that is in fact what they will do or have done, do not speak to them anymore, because you know what? They're terrorists. They're people who believe in oppressing other people.
Yeah.
And you don't need to have them in your life, and they don't deserve to have any kind of love. None.
Yes, go off when this Sagittarius like full rage bomb happens. I can't tell you how happy it makes me. It really is like such a wonderful then for us in this moment, because I mean,
watching Donald Trump debate is just like literally, like as Joe Biden said, is like watching a clown, like a crazy comedian clown. I mean, Donald Trump doesn't even believe what he's saying. He's just performing. But to sit here and watch like blood eye, fly head, Mike Pence talk, who's literally like, who actually believes the stuff he's saying. It's horrible. It's terrifying.
It is terrifying. And honey, that might be the garbage pail kid named Blood Eye Flyhead, because it's Blood Eye Fly Guy. It's such a, because it has to have some, he's so gross. He's so nasty. Ugh. He is so nasty.
I would love to see the process of how his hair becomes that shape.
Well, you've been in ballet.
It's not like that.
Do you know what I mean? Where you have to slack it down.
His hairs look so short. You know, they look so short.
All of it is so short and
they're
weird.
Just like pressed into this mat.
You know? How fierce would it have been if his eye would have popped out right in it somehow. Like he's clearly yoked in Satan's merciless employ. And he is suffering the consequences of that by having like a bloody eye. And like, you know, did you ever see Drag Me to Hell?
I don't know. What's that?
There's this movie where this young woman gets cursed by this older woman, and basically this like demon comes and eventually does drag her to hell. But one of the first sort of curses that happens to her is like flies follow her, and like one fly like eventually like goes up her nose. Mm. And like it crawls up her into her mouth or something, or up her nose while she's sleeping. And I thought about that tonight. I was like, this is absolutely a sign of like real dark-sidedness. Like it is just, and again, ladies and another, that's why you don't want to talk to those people, because it energetically can infect you and taint whatever good karma you're trying to put out into the world. I feel my neck hurts. My neck really hurts from watching that. I absolutely cannot watch the next debate.
I'll watch clips after. I can't do this anymore because it's too close to bedtime. They need to have them at 5 or 4. You know, it's crazy.
I know. Crazy. Why does this happen so late? I feel like I'm not going to be able to go to sleep till 5.
It's so crazy.
It's like I'm going to have to really Judy Garland myself out tonight because I feel so brazenly like I need to take like a walk outside in the cold. Yeah.
I did have some joy in the first half of the debate where she'd look through the chic sort of curved plexiglass and kind of just like smile it and shake her head and be like, no, girl.
she was absolutely like, no, please. And
I loved when she said, let me clarify what debt is. And then she talked about it.
Yeah. And let me clarify what this tax, who we're looking on taxing. People who make under $400,000 a year won't be taxed. My mind raced to like who makes over $400,000 a year. And I realized I don't know anyone who makes over $400,000 a year. If you do, please send us new laptops.
Absolutely. My desktop computer is done.
I need a new laptop. My power cord is absolutely frayed in that way that begins to happen, and then you have to get a new one. I do need a new phone.
Desktop computers are cheaper than laptops in many situations.
I don't want a desktop. What on earth am I going to do with that?
I need that because I look at stuff. That's my job, and I do Photoshop and what have you.
You can do that on a laptop.
I don't want to learn how to do that.
It's like the same thing. It's just the keyboard is just on the thing.
I don't want to use a mouse on a thing. I don't want to.
It's a trackpad. It's so easy.
No, don't do it. I don't want it.
You just don't want to do it. You can't be bothered. You can't be bothered with it. Okay. Well, Reed needs a new desktop and I need a new laptop. And it has to be Mac because that talk about being yoked into Satan's merceless employ. Everything now is Apple.
We cannot handle anything beyond a Mac.
No. Well, I can't handle anything besides Apple anymore because they really got me good. Remember,
we're literally dating the cult.
Queen Michael Sheriff, and she was like, "You have to get an iPhone. No one. This is in like 2009. He was like, "No one has a razor anymore." Took me to the Apple store. I got an iPhone, and then that was that. I just like, you can't go back. Once you pop, you can't stop.
So true. So true.
Oh, my God. Anyways,
I don't know that we should. I don't care to talk about this anymore. I feel like our feelings on it are clear. I took 3 pages of notes in Google Docs.
You did?
It looks like a script.
Well, can you read me some of it?
Okay. It starts by saying, the debate. I love Kamala. Skip line. Mike Pence is wasting time because he can't answer these questions. He is lying. Operation Warp Speed, 6 exclamation points. I like that they are being polite, I wrote. And then I wrote plagiarism, ! And then I wrote KH. I like when she looks at him. It's scary and good. I love KH. Work KH. Kill them. MP. In our hearts and in our prayers. Ew. Turning her words on her. Ew. He is a ghost. Stop talking ghost. Super spreader event in Rose Garden. Ha ha ha. Love Kamala. Look to him. How are you going to answer that? MP and DT have great confidence? ? Trust the American people. Want to paint JB and KH as communists. Yep. KH, you respect the American people when you tell them the truth. Work. Mike Pence has a blood eye. Love the moderator. This goes on for 2 more pages.
No, keep reading it, please.
Donald Trump tells us to take it. I'm not taking it. Work. Oldest president either way. Oh my God, Joe Biden is 78. 6 exclamation points. MP. It's unconscionable to say that she won't take the vaccine. MP refuses to hear what she is saying. He's ignoring the real thing she said. Love when she laughs. Love the moderator saying thank you over and over again. KH is an actress fighting for the dignity of all people, lifting up the American people. The plexiglass is chic. MP is asked about something about health and talks about prayers for the president and slowly talks about the amazing treatment for the president and thanks everyone for their well wishes and is then nice to her. This is crazy. Obsessed with KH for clarifying what debt is. KH saying thank you is mage. The economy. KH. how rich people are doing. Love her. Invest in research and education, 2-year free community college, free university for the poor, student debt cut, investing the people of the country. MP. Socialist economy, carb recovery, blah, blah, Trump cut taxes, ? Average Americans have $2,000 in tax savings. Joe Biden will raise your taxes, ? Laughing. That's not what I said. MP. Issue with Green New Deal and bans on fracking and tariffs, etc. Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking. This is absolutely not true. Joe Biden will not end fracking. He will impose further restrictions. KH, they're coming for you. KH, good line. MP, proud of record on environment. Everything he says is phony baloney. KH, Joe Biden will not ban fracking. He thinks about, and I didn't finish that. It's so crazy to hear MP criticizing the Green New Deal. China is to blame. Ha ha ha. Biden will allow fracking on private lands where most of it takes place. It feels odd to have a civilized debate with these people. They should be in jail. That's what I say about Donald and MP. Supreme Court, would you want your state to ban all abortions? MP avoids question, talks about Iran and Soleimani. A lifetime of experience and a sizable American family does not want attacks on her Christianity. This is in regards to Amy Clowney Butthole. MP avoids question of abortion. MP said the right to life. And then I had 8 question marks after it because I'm like, the right to life? That is insane. KH, history lesson. KH, oh, I love when she goes, I want to give you a history lesson. KH, yeah. No one is, Pat, wait. Oh, when she said, all these people, blah, 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 blah. And he packed the courts and not one black person. 50 yeah. people. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
Mike Pence points out that Kamala Harris never answered the court packing question. He never answers anything. Mike Pence trusts the justice system. Mike Pence law enforcement implicit bias is an insult. American racism is insulting. He's so stupid. Mike Pence tried to start his own state-run news service. Mike Pence hates the news. Duh. That's it.
I cannot tell you how much I wish that at the end of the debate, Rachel Maddow would say that, and then that'd be that. Like, she'd be like, well, I took some notes, and then she would say that, and then it would just cut to cartoons. Like, amazing. That is really, truly how I feel the world could begin to heal itself. I am so hot. I have to take my sweatshirt off. That, oh my God, that literally, you reading me that incredible script broke me into a full body sweat. I'm sweating so much right now. I can't even.
I'm glad you enjoyed that.
Reed, everyone enjoyed that. Everyone who's hearing this right now enjoyed that.
Literally just words for 5 minutes.
Well, I mean, that is absolutely like how choreography works when you write. It's like I've like built a career on writing scripts like that. That is really that was incredible.
Well,
wow.
You're welcome to have that script for any show you need.
Oh my God. Well, that was a show. I think that was the best show of 2020 right now. That was
and
so
yet,
good.
Yet again, snubbed from MacArthur Genius.
I mean, yet again, though, thank God Ralph Lemon got it.
After all these, it's because of you, because you talked about him so much for the last several weeks.
I have absolutely actually been talking about Ralph quite a lot for the last several weeks.
You projected it into the universe.
I was so thrilled by that news. Congratulations, Ralph. You're a fucking genius.
Really
I am
wonderful.
So fucking thrilled for you. And
I did see on that list of grantees that there's a 31-year-old and like a 37-year-old or a 34-year-old. And I was a little shook.
That is a real, like, that reminds me when I found out how old Angelina Jolie is. And I truly felt like I've done nothing with my life. I don't know if she's younger than me. She might be.
Well, I've been watching
I don't want to think about it.
I've been watching this show Away.
Yes, you talked about it last week.
And there's a Chinese woman on it named Vivian Wu, I believe, who has been in several things, mainstream Western things that we know of, like The Last Emperor, that Bertolucci film from the 80s. She, I don't even want to say this to you without you having seen this person. Because she's, well, A of all, she's an incredible actress. Incredible. Tonight, I was so struck by her that I couldn't believe that. I had to look up stats about her. She is 54 years old. It's almost impossible to believe.
Ugh. She's 50. It sounds very familiar. She sounds very familiar. I have to look her up right now because
she's also in the Joy Luck Club. But she's wonderful on Away. Wonderful. Ugh.
I have to look up who this is because...
My wish for Away is that they cut everything happening on Earth with her family and everyone else's family and just do space and have it be one third the length.
Where is her IMDb? Because she looks so familiar. I've absolutely seen this person before.
I imagine her IMDb is in IMDb.
I just looked it up and I can't find it. Anyhow, so, wow. Okay, well, I'll maybe start watching that show. We had this huge storm here today where the sky went white. Wow. And, Jeremy yelled at me to put on clothes and, in case the, why? And he was like, in case we have to like, you know, get in the car and drive, like if a tree falls in the house. And I was like, oh, a tree's not going to fall in the house, but a bunch of things did fall outside and power went out. And that was really fun. The other big news was I went to a doctor, finally a real doctor, and I had an incredible 2.5 hour visit. Of which I didn't wait. I only had to wait to get blood work done. I had 9 vials of blood drawn and because they were going to just test me for everything. And I had such incredible care. It's the best doctor's appointment I ever had. And I really felt very moved by the nurse who went through my line of questioning. And because like flags came up on the, you know, on my chart around depression, anxiety. And she asked me some questions around that. And then she asked about just trauma. She was like, have you ever been abused? I said, yes. Have you ever been assaulted? I said, yes. Have you ever been assaulted in your adult life? And I was like, yes. And then she looked at me in this way that was so compassionate. I was like, this woman, this is her job, and she's just up like this. I was shook. And she said, are you safe right now? Do you feel you're in a safe place right now? And do you know? And I was, I mean, I of course knew you would laugh when I asked that, but I was like, I'm safe. And I have a really wonderful partner and all of that. And I was just really amazed at that. And then we had this really great conversation that ended with we talked for a long time, and I told her to get tick rolls, which she didn't know about, and we exchanged some different intel on, you know, stuff to get. And I realized we somehow got into a touch of witchcraft towards the end of our conversation, and I did laugh to myself that she gave me the cup to pee in. And I closed the bathroom door. I said, blessed be. Because I had seen that she had a lunar phase necklace on. And I was like, oh, wow. And the doctor was great. And the woman who drew my blood was great. All that was great. What was not great was the 2 older white men in the waiting room who pulled their masks all the way down and off to talk to each other.
Oh, dear.
And they didn't know each other. And I thought, and I was like, I'm not waiting in here. This is for my blood work. So I'd already gone through. And also, like, a man in a MAGA hat, like this old decrepit man in a MAGA hat, was like brought in by like a nurse. And like this nurse literally had on a mask that said, don't cough on me, which I was like, I love that. And just the idea of these people taking care of these people who don't want to take care of them. Mm. And so I was like, I'm going to like hurl a chair at one of these guys. So I opened the door into the hallway, and there was this young FedEx guy in a windowless tight hall, wasn't even holding a mask.
Wow. Just
no mask at all in a hospital.
Wow. You should come back to New York City. People here wear masks.
I did. That was where I was like, what the fuck? It did feel... Oh, God. Isn't there something... Isn't there like an essay or something that's called like The End of Men or like a book? Or I remember there's that incredible movie by...
Are you talking about Children of Men?
There is Children of Men, but this movie is called Women Without Men. Oh. By, I want to say Shireen Nashat, but I'm not sure. And it's a really incredible movie. I highly suggest it. I remember seeing it years ago in the theater. I really suggest it. It is Women Without Men is made by Shireen Nashat. Yep.
What? You did it.
I did it. When did it come out? In 2010. What? Where was I? My God.
You were in New York. Ghost.
I was in New York. And what I will say is I got the flu vaccine and I got the pneumonia vaccine. And
oh, wow.
It made me feel so sick for like 48 hours that I was like, maybe this is why people don't get vaccines, because they're like, I feel sick.
They do. They are meant to make you feel a little sick.
Oof, it was unpleasant because I'd had a week of, you know, when you like feel like you're just starting to feel better and you feel like you have a lot of energy. And then I was like, ugh, I feel so gross. Still feels a little icky. How are you doing? Oh, it's my favorite segment of the show. How are you? My new...
Truly, the best moment of last week. I would like to also hear our review of Invisible Man, but I'm not a Patreon. How can we sort that out?
Well, donate whatever it is. It's like four. I think it's $4 a month.
I want to be able to listen to my own podcast.
Oh, well, too bad,
Jeremy.
That's too bad. $5 a month, and then you can hear our review of Invisible Man, which I think was pretty incredible.
I wouldn't know. I haven't heard it.
But my favorite, my new favorite segment of this show, which is, but Reed, how are you doing? How are you?
How are you?
How are you?
That is our new segment. I am
new segment.
That is our. This is
how this 3.5 years in. New segment where I ask you how you are.
This is now research journalism. So I'm okay. I've been very, very busy, but I'm getting right to the end of it, and things are going pretty well. We are designing costumes for Christopher Wheeldon piece for Fall for Dance Commission for David Hallberg
and like
Sarah Mearns.
A week where he was like,
we had 1 week.
You will have 1 week.
It was a Project Runway challenge.
It is absolutely a Project Runway challenge.
Yeah.
You will have 1 week to design costumes for Sarah Mearns and David Hallberg. Yeah. Go.
But luckily I've been able to go as the designated, I don't remember what we're calling it. Harriet came up with a funny name today, but the designated COVID representative. Uh-huh. I go to City Center for the fittings the last few days, and I get rapid COVID tests before I go. And, that's because City Center requires rapid COVID tests every 3 days.
Wise.
Yep. And that's been going well, and I think we've made nice costumes for them. And then we're finishing up the costumes, which I'll fit on. What?
You can't say the other one, I don't think.
Yet. Oh, that's right. Good thing you stopped me as I was about to steamroll into oblivion.
I could absolutely feel you saying something that I was like, nope. But I
you
do want to say it's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's
they're going
to
so be good.
Beautiful. Those I mean, well, really I only good. Saw the one look, and I was like, oh, it's so good. And I like looked at the detailing on the pants and I was like, incredible. It's really good.
Oh, what pants?
I don't want to talk about it. It's the thing we can't talk about. It's the thing that you and Jeremy are working on.
The transparent pants?
Mm-mm.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. I just didn't realize. I forgot we took a picture of those. Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Anyhow.
Anyways.
More will be revealed. Keep tuning in, ladies, gentlemen, and other, as we let you know,
Yeah. Other than that, I've also been having quite a bit of school stuff. I'm reading some feminist theory books for Linda Murray for my mentored practice work with her. Let's see.
You know who left me the most incredible message?
Linda Murray.
Yep. She left me the most, and it was a 212 number, so I thought it was a bill collector. So
oh, she was at the library.
And it meant so much to me that she called to just ask how I was doing with my symptoms and to give me some respite with
storytelling. Well, you know, I actually got to see her.
You're so lucky. You're so lucky to get to see Linda Murray is truly... I know.
Both on a screen and in real life.
To get to see her in real life? What kind of mask was she wearing?
Oh, I don't remember. Wait.
It must have been incredible.
It was festive. It was something. But I don't remember now because it was too many days ago.
If you ever see her in person, can you take a photo and send it to me? Because I love her so much.
Yes.
It's like thinking of her makes me feel like the world could be a good place. Someday.
Oh, absolutely. She fills me with hope that things could be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. She's truly like a role model for me.
Oh, absolutely. If I could know even one eighth of the amount she knows, I'd feel absolutely brilliant.
And not only know that much, but be that kind. To be really smart and really kind, it's a real like...
I think once you cross a threshold of knowledge, you become actually very kind.
You're right. I fully agree with you on that. You have to cross that threshold.
I think some people do learn quite a bit, but then they feel entitled in a way. They're like, I know things. But you're like, well, why don't you learn a little bit more? And then like...
Right,
you know,
right. Well, they're like, but I already know this stuff and I'm good. Yeah. The people who feel solid in their knowledge are, you know, it's a different kind of dumbness. I love that. I love that you're getting to see her.
And also I think I could talk about that project. I mean, it's known that Pam Tanowitz is one of the choreographers for one of the City Ballet original digital commissions that come at the end of the season. Right. And we designed it. I won't tell you more about that. I'll let it be a surprise, but we did get to clock in a bunch of hours on the Lincoln Center campus, which is always a joy.
Such a joy. That's so fun.
Yeah.
I am very excited and want to plug that on the day that you are listening to this episode, ladies and gentlemen, October 9th, the music video for Chris Curnow's Not the Child will be dropping, of which Jeremy directed, Danny Rampula was cinematographer, Reed did the costumes, and I did the choreo, and
did the makeup.
And I just talked to Chris about this like 2 nights ago about, because he loves the video. I love the video. I think the video is so strong. And we were going through things of just the details on it. And I said, and also the makeup, which really does prove that Reed can do anything.
Well, you know, it was collaborative because Jeremy sort of directed the makeup. And then I had to try to figure out how to do makeup, which I don't know how to do.
Yeah, but you can do anything. So he was like, I want it to look like this. And you're like, okay. And you're like, then it will.
As I was like scratching Chris's eyelids with like, with dull pencils. Oh, man. Whoops.
Well, I love the music video. It is a fierce, queer Alice in Wonderland nostalgia of a kind of not only memory play, but loneliness and what a lot of us are in right now, which is being alone and thinking back. And I'm sure many people are feeling that. Remember in the beginning of this when we all went into like teen time and like no one could have a proper bed schedule?
Oh, yeah.
When it was just super like, welcome back to middle school. I mean, it's just a real...
What does that mean, though? You didn't have a proper bedtime in middle school?
I did not have a proper bedtime ever.
Oh, that's, well, no surprise.
No surprise there. No. No. Did you, well, you did because you were in a boy choir school. I'm sure they were like, lights out at 7.
There was no moment in my life until I was totally free from school that I didn't have a bedtime. I mean, we had very restrictive bedtime with my mother.
And you then did?
Of course.
That makes, of course. Yes. What was the bedtime from honey?
I think, you know, it shifts as you get older. But when we were little, it was probably, you know, I can remember 7:38 and maybe eventually 9. I mean, when I got to boy choir school when I was 9, bedtime was 9:15. And then, I mean, and that was no joke. Like, lights went out. You're not allowed to speak. And if you were caught speaking, you'd have to come out in the hall and do a wall sit for a little while.
What's a wall sit?
It's where you sit against the wall with your back totally straight and your knees bent.
Knees bent, feet on the floor?
Feet on the floor, like 90 degree angles at the knees and the pelvis. Like as if you're in a chair, but you're, yeah.
Oh my God. So they get your quads on.
Yeah, they'd exhaust you.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Did that ever happen to you?
No.
Wow, that would have absolutely happened to me.
It would.
They would have been like, come out here and do a wall sit, and I would have cried. No, like, please.
I'm calling my mother!
I'd be like, please don't make my quads get big. That is amazing. I remember being in the second grade, and no, it had to have been earlier than that. It was earlier than that, because we were learning how to tell time. You must have to do that in, like, kindergarten or the first
kindergarten.
Grade.
Kindergarten. Mm-hmm.
And the teacher like brought up a clock and was like, everyone come up and put your bedtime. And everyone got up and they were like, I go to bed at 7, you know, and, like the kids who were on farms especially. And then like if a kid wasn't, was like maybe like I go to bed at 8. And then I went up and I was like, I go to bed at 11. And the teacher was like, you're lying. And I was like, I am not lying. I stay up and I watch Dynasty with my mother.
And that is when that teacher should have called child services.
Well, she called my mother, and that was when my mother in the car kind of explained, like, secrets are fun.
Wow.
And I was like, all right.
Remember that excellent movie, The Kindergarten Teacher?
I can't quite place it.
With Maggie Gyllenhaal?
That was really quite the Ferrante spectacle. It was... It was really good.
It was really so good when
Maggie Gyllenhaal was like, I'm going to be directing The Lost Daughter. I was like, that makes sense.
Yeah, she that did, makes gives sense an that, amazing performance in that movie.
She really does. But, you know, here's the thing. I'm a fan. Did you ever see...
Clock Watchers? Is she in that?
No. I don't know. That's an honorable woman.
Parker's
in Clock Watchers. An honorable woman.
I didn't watch. I watched the first episode and then I was like, I'm good.
Because it was so stressful.
It was too stressful. When she's sleeping in that panic room, I can't sleep. I can't watch this.
You didn't want a room like that?
No, I hate rooms without windows.
Oh my God. The panic room. I was like, I love it. It was, I was absolutely like, I mean that. It looked so chic and like that matte pastel. I was really.
It was very chic. It was like a really chic airplane bathroom.
Absolutely. Like a great pod. I mean, but I think it was all like, I don't think there was any soft surface in it. I do think she had to like sleep on plastic, which I was like.
She seemed to be sleeping on the floor or something. It was strange.
It was so good. The tour de force acting of like pulling out, like can't imagine how she got through doing takes and takes of these things that she did in that. It was, you should watch it. You really, really should watch it.
Reed,
you should watch it. It gets so.
No, I can't. Not right now. Maybe later. Maybe when I.
It's politically important.
If the election goes well, I might watch it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's
right
a
now,
way.
I can only do Hillary Swank in Space and Great British Baking. That's all I can do.
I was so mad.
Why?
With the Great British Bake Off.
Why?
Because they should have sent that queen home.
Old queen? They can't send him home, Jack. He's just so amazing for television.
I literally was like, no. I was like, this isn't right. This isn't fair. They've given him these notes. He doesn't take the notes. He's not taking the notes.
Wait, did they send home the handsome Indian man?
Yeah. I was like...
He wasn't good. He wasn't good.
I don't care. He tried to implement notes. The old British queen is not good either. And she does not take in the note of like, can you finish it in the time?
I think sometimes people who don't take notes can be visionary. So like, I stand with old queen.
And she's like, the real reason I wanted her to go home is because she said, looks a bit like the cat's lavatory.
And I was like, love that.
I hated it, it made me sick. I gagged. I was like, oh,
God, said that joke twice. Reiterated it.
Oh my God, drove me nuts. It's not here for it.
We need old queen.
Okay, here's the thing. Like, yes to old queens. I just don't want that one. And I'm like, I can't. No, she needed to go.
That old queen, I have a feeling that old queen was so handsome when they were young.
Sure, she was an absolute dandy. It's a very, like, Oscar Wilde, what have you. And
yeah, a beauty queen.
Absolutely a beauty queen. Look, I don't have anything against her. I was just like, it's you. Like,
it's arbitrary because they're all bad. You know what I mean?
Like everyone on the show.
I have been watching Maison Olivia baking of like high level virtuosic, basically like precision surgical baking. So to watch these people bake, I'm like, you're all garbage, but I love each and every one of you. Love. Absolutely. Even like brown haired Emma Stone. Love.
What do you mean even? Like especially?
Yeah.
She is my absolute favorite one. The one who's like, she's the out of the cast. It's like
she and Emma absolutely need to play sisters in a movie.
Oh my God, absolutely. It's such a, she is brown-haired Emma Stone. I adore her. I love her. I want her to win. She is incredible. The woman who's like always does a really good job and is always crying and who knocked that guy's cupcakes or whatever the
yes,
first
yes, I love, I like her.
I can't remember her name. I can't do it. I don't know.
What about
their names.
About the guy who got his cupcakes knocked off the thing?
I don't care about him.
Did you expect his body to be quite so pear-shaped? Wasn't that a surprise?
When did you see his body?
I don't know. He was like out walking a dog or something with his girlfriend.
I didn't see it.
Oh well.
But you know, you did.
You also didn't see that someone had a prosthetic leg last week.
And I
also,
literally did it, and I did catch it this week, and I did see it, and I was like, oh, he
but
does.
But what I will
I
say is that
I love him.
Harriet also missed the prosthetic leg, and I also love that guy.
I love him. Me I love too. Him. I absolutely love him. I love him. Brown-haired Emma Stone.
Wait. Can you help me? Okay. Who's the amazing Joe Pubs person who always sticks her boobs in people's faces?
Bridget Everett.
Bridget. There's the woman who looks like Bridget Everett. There's Bridget Everett, Emma Stone. There's the queen.
I'm dying.
There's prosthetic leg.
I'm dying. I'm absolutely going to take that audio clip and text it to Bridget. Jeremy, pull those 5 minutes. Who's that woman who sticks her, Joe's pub and sticks her boobs in everyone's face? Bridget Everett.
Yeah.
It's true. That's also like the most incredible voice. British Bake Off. What are these people's names?
It doesn't matter.
At any point, do you ever know their names?
No. Maybe like by the last episode, I'll know the last four people or so. But then like 2 days later, I won't know their names. I just you know, they become what they are. They become, you know, like glasses, dimples.
Who was our favorite one who did Space Turtles?
Kim Joy.
I love her.
We love her.
Kim Joy will forever be my favorite one who's ever on that show.
She was definitely the best person that was ever on that show.
No one on the show yet, because I haven't finished the season, has made me cry as hard as she made me cry. When she tried to hold back tears while just taking the critique.
Oh, yeah.
I cried. I couldn't stop crying.
I'm going to say like a third of all the contestants have made me cry really hard on that show. Because whenever they cry at the end, it's really with that music playing and this like a creek in the background or like a goose. Oh, it makes me cry.
Kim Joy really, really, really made me cry. Also, when it was Space Turtles, made me weep. Like, but it was such an Aquarius moment of her being like, Space Turtles. And I was like, and I like burst into like extreme sobs. And I also cried with the foxes.
This group of bakers is talentless. I mean, what? Like the constructed like biscuit tea sets or whatever that they made this week. It was my bananas.
God, it was bananas.
The ones like, that the judges were like really into, I was like, very low expectations. Wow.
It was such a what the hell. I literally. I do have to say, I don't disagree. On this season, I have really been like, whoa.
Talentless.
I was like, are things going to like all of a sudden get better? Because I'm so confused. I'm also so confused that they've practiced and stuff.
Also, these like, challenges are kind of crazy. I mean, like, they're kind of crazy.
What do you mean? Like crazy hard or crazy easy?
Like making a bust out of cake, that's really hard and crazy. It's like, yeah. Not only do you have to like make a nice, good cake, but you also have to be like a physicist and an artist.
Well,
like
you know.
An engineer.
Well, I fucking watched Cake Boss and like those people turned it out something fierce. So, you know,
But when you're going on that show, it's like you have to know how to make a cake and you practice. But on this show, it's like, know how to make cookies, know how to make a cake, know how to make a sculpture, know how to make a chocolate dome that you melt with some, like, bubbling liquid. It's just, like, too many things.
Right, right. They did get a challenge that I was, like, kind of shook by how not hard I would have found it to be. And I can't remember what it was. Jeremy didn't know what a Florentine was, which made me sad and made me want to instantly buy him some.
I really didn't know what they were either, to be honest.
But you'd had them.
I don't know. I don't recall having like some like weird, hard, snappy cookie full of like fruits covered in chocolate.
You absolutely have had that.
I don't know. That seems very British. Don't know who that is.
Well, then I've just been at like the right tea party, I guess, because I've absolutely had that.
I don't frequent tea parties, I have to say. Jeremy was like, what is
that? And I was like, you've had that. And he's like, I haven't. I was like, yes, you have.
It looks like a little bit like those Girl Scout cookies that I like.
What are those?
They're not mimosas, but they sound like that.
Can you imagine Girl Scout comes and she's like, would you like mimosas?
Samoas. Those are covered in chocolate and have coconut and stuff.
I think it's coconut and
caramel.
You know what was, I was I also like, that's not when people, they were like, we're going to make macaroons. I was like, that's fine.
Oh, the coconut macaroons?
I was like, big deal.
Those look delicious. The ones with the lemon or the mango curd? I was mango like, give it honey. To me.
You know what I haven't had in, I can't even remember? A cookie.
A cookie? I ate a lot of cookies at the Pam Tanowitz shoot at Lincoln Center over the weekend. Yeah,
there were
I had to be there. It was like a proper film shoot with like crew and da ba ba. So I had to be there at 7 a.m. and then I was there till 7 p.m. And there was like, you know, lunch and snacks, cookies. Yeah.
What kind of cookies did you eat?
I had two kinds of cookies. One of them was like a health cookie from Dig In that had like flax seeds and chocolate and nuts and stuff. Mm-hmm.
I love Dig In, by the way.
Dig In's pretty good. And then it's a good place to eat. They had little lunch bags full of like, you know, Hidden Valley granola, not Hidden Valley, but Nature's Valley granola.
Hidden
bar.
Valley ranched cookies.
Ranched.
I had a Hidden Valley ranch cookie. It was so delicious. Just carrot and Hidden Valley ranch. And then it was just left somewhere to dry.
So much umami. And then there had that lunch bag had like two kind of unidentified chocolate chip cookies that were very bad.
Ugh.
No offense to the people who plan that the excellent craft services.
I literally am scanning back. I think that Parker and Jeremy and I made cookies once, and then we were like, we can't do that again.
Really?
And they were like health cookies. They were Parker's mom's recipe, which are they're literally like a healthy cookie. And I was like,
there's no such thing.
And you know what? There isn't. I remember once I was having cookies and Michelle Mola went, oh, I see you're having cookies. And I was like, well, they're gluten-free. And she went, a cookie's still a cookie, Jack.
It's true. I mean, maybe there are healthy cookies, but I'm sure they taste absolutely bad.
There's not a healthy cookie. It's just how it is. But I would love one right now. I'd love a macaroon.
Most food is inherently poisonous.
What?
Most food is inherently poisonous. That's not entirely true.
Can you please, can that be the t-shirt? That is, that is an incredible t-shirt. Most food is inherently poisonous. Talk about like the opposite of like that incredible, she has an Instagram account. I can't remember its name, but it's about like, you know, just eat. It's for dancers. It's like, just eat, like have the piece of pizza, have the cookie.
Oh yeah. We had a nutritionist came to like our training class at PMB and she was like, you know, what's a balanced food? Pizza. Have some.
Absolutely.
And I was like, I love pizza. I love cheese.
I absolutely miss. I really miss eating at Orchestratus in like a really huge way to talk about like some fried bread with cheese and meat and stuff.
Yummy.
The chicken sandwich from Orchestratus, really difficult for me.
Are you coming to the city with Jeremy?
I don't think so.
Why?
Because I don't think I want to travel and...
It's an hour and a half. It's not traveling.
It's 2.5 hours long. It's a thing of like this whole like Lyme shingles adventure has been truly exhausting. And
I really feel like you forget that when you restrict yourself and close yourself in, things get worse. But when you move outside of the dark and like go out into the world, you're better. Remember the road trip?
We had a great time on the road trip, didn't we?
And you literally ate whatever you wanted.
I ate anything I wanted. I ate like potatoes filled with cheese or something.
Totally. You just ate like white soft foods the whole time.
I did, and I flourished.
You flourished. And then the rest of your life, you lock yourself up in dark rooms eating like kale mush and you're like, I'm dying.
Well, like, is Jeremy even seeing you?
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm
but
also
if
like...
if you came to Greenpoint, it would give us an opportunity to rendezvous and do an interview and da-ba-ba.
Well, here's the thing. I'll think about it. I just felt like I also have to say it's like I'm not just like full time this semester because I'm teaching an added course. So it's like I'm full time plus and I'm a little like it's the weekend, you know, do I just want to lay down and watch movies and sprawl out? I don't know. I'll come back or I won't. We'll find out next week.
Oh, fine.
It's a real like, you know, I have to feed Rory. I have to take Rory
Rory is being fed. You just give him snacks. You literally give him cow cookies.
they brought this huge bale of hay for Rory today, and it was so sweet. When it first came, he went out and he scratched under his chin on it.
Oh.
And it was so cute. I love him so much. And I wish I had a dog that I could actually hold, because I can't hold that 2-ton Scottish Highlander.
Have you ever tried to hug Rory? His horns are scary.
He'll move because of the flies, not because of you, and it could absolutely crush your ribs.
Like, and if you stepped over the fence with Ringway.
I've been over the fence with him before, and I've like fed him bread, but it's the flies will bother him, and so he'll like twist his head, and you have to really have your cat-like reflexes on.
Why don't you try to ride Rory? Just get up on his back next time.
Can you imagine that? If I was on Rory screaming Hey Queen, that would be close, but not as good as
that'll Britney be in Spears's opening credits for your docuseries on Netflix.
I mean,
and it's called Hey Queen.
Absolutely. Hey Queen would absolutely be what I would, with like a thing of hay there with me on a weird big cow. Hey Queen. And that's the beginning of it.
It's good.
Nothing can top Britney Spears on Instagram. It continues to astound and amaze me. That photo she recently posted of her in that white dress saying that it's like not a puff and it's not feathers. It was like just a light, a trick of light. I really was like, this is here we are in 2020. It's just soap.
It's just soap.
Fooled ya. That and alternative facts have really like stewarded the times of full crazanity. And
crazins.
Oh, I remember those. Did you ever make cookies with craisins? What is a craisin?
It's a dried cranberry.
That's gross, just thinking of it.
Well, they're very sweetened, you know.
Sour, right?
They're tart, but you know, cranberries are like only tart. That's their only flavor aspect, tartness. But then they make them sweet and stuff.
I would like that with a very dark chocolate and a very oat kind of cookie. I think an oat cookie with craisins and a dark, dark chocolate could be good.
Oh, I just want to eat a handful of raisinettes.
Ew. Oh, my God. I remember one time this friend of mine, and I'll keep her anonymity, came to see a show of mine. Came to see me, Michelle, at Museum of Arts and Design. And she had brought raisinettes to eat during the show.
Delicious.
And while she was waiting to go up on the elevator, she went to eat some of them, and the box exploded and went over the floor the lobby of the Museum of Arts and Design. And she quickly grabbed them and shoved them into her pockets.
Oh, no.
And then during the show, while Michelle and I were performing, I was watching her with brown fingers eating out of her pockets.
Oh my God. Was it JH?
No.
Sorry, Jen. Jen, I just thought it would be a funny story if it was you.
No, it was not. It was a different friend of mine who afterwards talked about it, and I was like, it's okay.
Was it F? F?
I have no idea who FF is, but I love...
No, just F. F. I don't know the last name. F. FL? FL?
Incredible. FL Bean. I have no idea who that could possibly be.
Okay, I'm just going to give you the first two letters of their first name. FL.
No. Like, also, she would never eat a raisinette.
No, that's true.
She would never, ever. My God.
Was it RB? RB?
No, you don't know this person, actually. I think you've met her a couple times, And we did go out. You were at a dinner we were at once where she picked up her shirt to ask the waiter if he thought she was fat.
Oh, this person's blonde?
Correct.
I do know this person.
Yeah. 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 She's amazing. She did it. Isn't that incredible? Can't you see her doing
That's
it?
That's absolutely correct.
It's yep. She's so great. Anyhow, what else? I think we did it. I think that's it. We got through the debate. We talked about stuff.
So late at night. Oh my
God. It is late at night. And
I have another COVID test tomorrow.
And are they doing it up your nose?
Uh-huh.
God, do your sinuses just feel like raw as fuck?
No.
How far up are they going?
You know, far enough, I guess.
And it doesn't bother you?
Well, it like makes your eye water for a minute. I mean, it's not like they're going up there and excavating. They just like go up, swoop, swoop, take it out. There's no way that it could make you raw unless you were having them like 25 times a day.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, unless, there you go.
Yeah, just get a COVID test. It's NBD.
No big deal, everyone. Well, when I went to the doctor's office, they just pointed the thing at my forehead and boop.
My temperature gets taken 100 times a day. These buildings have these QRL codes now that you check in and you like say like, this is my name, this is my email, I don't have any of the symptoms. And then you stick your face against this camera and it takes your temperature.
Wow. My temperature is also below. I'm running. She took my temperature and she wanted to take it again because it was like 96 something.
Oh, yeah, pretty cold.
I was like, I guess I'm just a little cold today.
A little chilly. Mm-hmm. Well, the new human norm is like 97.5 as opposed to 98.6.
I wasn't that bad. It was like almost 97 probably. Well. That's it. We loves you, ladies and gentlemen. Please become a Patreon patron. And if you do, you'll have access to our review of The Invisible Man, as well as access to getting to see the movie Possession, which is unavailable seemingly almost every other way, which we will be reviewing this month. It has come out as the top movie that you want us to review. You certainly have heard me talk about it enough.
And, why was there a survey or just people talk? What? How did we find?
We did a poll, and that was
really
yeah. And it's interesting because I brought this up last week, and you did seem to hear it, but maybe you didn't.
I missed it.
It's okay. Two people can be talking, and that doesn't mean they're talking. Do you know what
it's
I mean?
True. It's
you know what I mean.
A podcast, as we said before, now in these days is truly just a phone call between friends.
It's a phone call between friends. And you know what's really great, Reed, if you're feeling the need to cheer yourself up, and maybe it actually wound me up, it didn't bring me down, is I watched Chris Garnaut sent me the interview with Kristen Wiig and Bill Hader for Skeleton Twins,
mm-hmm.
where this guy is interviewing them remotely. And early on, Bill Hader and Kristen Wiig start laughing.
Oh, no.
And then they can't get it back. They cannot pull themselves back together for the interview. And she is crying.
Well, then you must send the link.
So hard that it put me into a full Kristen Wiig thing where I had to go back and watch her and Maya Rudolph when they do the homeless fart. And...
I don't know what that is.
You haven't. You're the one who showed it to me with the homeless, French reporter.
Homeless fart.
This French reporter. Maybe it was Joshua Lubin Levy. This reporter comes in and he's like, "So there's a lot of pooping and a lot of farting," and they start laughing, and he was like, "You know, but do you think a fart movie could be serious?" And it like, and then Maya Rudolph starts to talk about like. This fart that's homeless and looking for a place to stay, and Kristen Wiig like loses her mind.
I've never seen that.
You And then, like, and they're doing, like, a thing where it's, like, reporter after reporter. And when they go to remove this reporter, Kristen Wiig and Maya Rudolph go, no, no, please let him stay. And I'll send you that one, too. And then, of course, okay. I had to watch Kristen Wiig as Khaleesi again. On Jimmy Fallon, where she shows up as Khaleesi from Game of Thrones.
And they I love that.
It seems like your accent's gone. Nope, no, it's still here. Favorite food, meat. And that is when she is promoing Welcome to Me, which is absolutely a movie you and I should review, because that is so much of literally all performance is literally
I wanna watch that movie. Wes Bentley's so handsome.
Oh my god. Remember when he was looking at that trash bag and he goes, sometimes it's just all too beautiful. I laughed so hard and I was like 20 years old when I saw that movie.
You laughed when he said that?
Yeah, I was like, what a fucking dumb line.
Oh, I like, was sobbing. Full of sobbing.
I was like rolling my eyes until I had a headache, like looking for my cigarettes in the movie theater laughing.
Ugh, I love that movie.
I was like, give me a break.
That movie has a little something for everyone, though, because, you know, Annette Bening. So
Look, I loved Annette Bening being like, I will sell this house. And I love
when she Cooper goes. Chris Cooper gives like a real performance where you're like, wow.
Yes. When Annette Bening goes into the closet and like smells the clothes. Incredible.
When he's been shot. How about Allison Janney in that movie?
I can't recall.
She plays Wes Bentley's completely shut down mother because the husband is Chris Cooper and has obviously like abused her whole life.
Like, I kind of can't remember. I kind of, all I can remember is Annette Bening pushing her face into the clothes and Wes Bentley looking at the trash bag and saying, sometimes life is so beautiful, with like glycerin drops in his eyes. And I remember rolling my eyes at that part. And when Annette Bening pushed her face in the clothes being like, work. That's all I remember from American Beauty. And that girl on the ceiling or something with roses.
Oh, yeah. Mina Suvari, naked in the ceiling.
Mina Suvari? Beautiful. Where'd she go?
Nobody knows.
We'll interview her.
But God, and also the Thomas Newman music. Favorite composer for movies, Thomas
Newman.
You
love a Thomas Newman cookie.
It's the best.
A Thomas Newman's own cookie.
Yeah. It's the best.
He is really good. You know who's an exceptional composer is David Shire, who did the music for Return to Oz, which is really, really good. And Return to Oz will
we say that every week.
You should listen to the music read. It's really good.
Okay.
The opening music for Return to Oz may be my absolute favorite soundtrack movie ever. Na 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 na. It's so good. The chord progression. Right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, remember, we loves you.
We loves you and vote.
Vote.
Or we won't loves you anymore.
Absolutely true.
Bye.
Bye.